Well, good morning, everyone. How are you doing? How are you doing? Okay, good. Good. It's a wonderful day, isn't it? Isn't it good to be alive? I'm grateful every time I get up and I wake up and I think, wow, I've got another day. I don't take that for granted. I'm alive. I'm kicking. Hopefully not too many people, but I'm kicking something or other to, maybe it's injustice, who knows. But it's great to be here this morning. And my name is Jill Coombe. I'm working for Christian Aid. And St. Stephen's has been a fantastic supporter of Christian Aid over the years. And the first thing I want to say is thank you for all that you've done and all that you've been. Because whether you're a small charity or a large charity, all people working for charities need encouragement. We need the support of our supporters. And so we really appreciate everything that St. Stephen's has done. You play a significant role, and I often hold you up as an example of what a great supporting church looks like. So I hope you feel good about that. Not about feeling good, is it? But it's good to know we're doing the right thing. I feel at home this morning. I live in Ealing. I live in Hanwell. Are there any Hanwellians in the house this morning? Let's have a big up for the Hanwell Massive. Good. I feel at home. I'm going to come back to those words. I feel at home. What does that mean? We're going to be looking at that a little bit. I also feel at home because I have a long-standing relationship with Caroline. We had the misfortune or fortune, I'm not sure. I think the misfortune of sharing economics A-level together. Caroline was a year above me, and she's only 2.5 months older than me. But she was in the year above me, and so we shared the pain of data response. You remember that day, Caroline? Yes. So, I feel at home. I feel at home. I'm with people who know me. I have an identity connected with you. I know a little bit about St. Stephen's. I know that you're very engaged in the community, and it's really fantastic, isn't it? Lots of churches aren't, for whatever reason. But I know that St. Stephen's is. You're involved in CAP and Ealing Church's night shelter and food bank and so many things, and that's a wonderful thing. You're partnering with God. And I know that you've been partnering. St. Stephen's has been partnering with God for 150 years. It's amazing, isn't it? And for 150, I think you're looking pretty good. So I think you should feel good about that. Christian Aid is also celebrating an anniversary. We're 70 this year. 70. I know, it's amazing, isn't it? Charities come and go, and, you know, we're 70. We've spent 70 years partnering. Presently, we're 20,000 churches. 20,000 churches are doing or hearing the Christian Aid message probably this week. 20,000 are partnering with us, house to house, running lunches and so on. It's incredible. We're working in over 40 countries, dealing with what we call the scandal of poverty, not just administrating aid, but trying to deal with the root cause. What does that mean? It means having a voice in the highest arena so we can represent those who don't have a voice in any arena. We enable others. We speak out. We lobby on behalf of. We've helped secure an Equality Act in Zambia. We are working with government on tax justice. We're trying to get companies to be accountable. We have a strong voice. We have a strong voice in climate change. We have a strong voice in gender discrimination because we want people to experience, yes, eternal life, but we want people to experience life before death, life before death. And you're part of that. St. Stephen's is part of that story. And that's fantastic. And, you know, we're all connected. We are all partnering with God. It starts in our heart, first of all, doesn't it? Our own individual call. And then perhaps we're in a church, and then we get involved in certain things, as you have here. I want to sort of give you something that I found on Facebook the other day. Some people love Facebook, some people hate it. I have a love-hate relationship with it. Enables me to connect with friends I've got around the world, and sometimes it just really annoys me. It's so false. It really is. But I like to take the good bits. And here's an amazing quote I found from a Salvation Army officer. She works in LA, working with female sex workers. Amazing woman. I haven't heard her speak, but I read this. She shared something on Facebook, and it is this. It's quite hard-hitting. Sometimes I want to ask God why he allows poverty, famine, and injustice in the world when he could do something about it. But I'm afraid he might ask me the same question. Ooh, The good news is, I know that many of you at St. Stephen's have actually answered that question already. You've already decided you want to do something, and I know as a church, St. Stephen's has decided to do something for the likes of, for example, Celestine. This is Celestine. I've not met him. He's from the DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, a very troubled place, as we know. Remember I said earlier about I feel at home? He is providing a home for people who are fleeing violence. He saw his own bishop, whom he calls my shepherd. He saw his bishop murdered in front of him, plus 9 other people. Imagine that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's the front 2 rows and the 2 ladies here murdered in front now. Can you imagine? I can't. We can't. It's not possible, is it? Including his shepherd. So what did he do about that? He walked for 3 weeks to safety. You know, justice is a long journey, isn't it? His journey started with a 3-week walk to a safe haven. What's he done about that? Has he just sort of thought, phew, ha, thank goodness for that, I'll hide under my hole? No, he's created a safe haven for others who are also experiencing violence. He has created a safe place to call home for, if you like, refugees, for people who do not feel safe. What does Christian Aid do about that? We provide food, household items, accommodation to help somebody who's walked their way out of injustice to a safe place. Celestine is helping to provide that safe place. He's helping to implement Isaiah 58, unloosing the chains of wickedness, the reading which Simon read so well for us. Unloosing the bonds of wickedness or the chains of injustice, different versions. He's partnering with God, just as you individually and corporately as a church are partnering with God. I came across a great quote this week from an Oregon pastor. I'd never heard of him, but I liked what he said, so I'm going to show you that. God is calling us to partner with him in making all creation right. Wow, isn't that like a big deal? I've got to go to work tomorrow. I've got to get the washing sorted out. I've got my gardens overgrown. I've got to deal with my parents who are not well. I've got to get my kids to school. I've got to get them into the right school. I've got to find a job. God is calling us to partner with him in life, in making all creation right. Whatever stage of our journey we are at, God wants one thing for you. He wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with your heart. He wants to partner with your mind. He wants to partner with your spirit so that we help build that road of justice, if you like. If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, your light will rise in the darkness. What does that mean? You see, I find partnership with God a very exciting thing. You know, if I think, oh, it's about me giving, oh, there's somebody else on a charity talking again, they want money, you know, whatever it is. Oh, they want me to do something. It's not about that. It's actually God saying, you know what, I'm tapping on your heart. Partner with me, work with me. And that's a blessing. Why is that? Because when we give, we receive. 2 Corinthians 9:11 reminds us of this. Paul had received money. He was grateful. He wasn't in need at that point. But he said to the Corinthians to encourage them. He didn't say, I need more money. Well, that's great, thanks. I'm going to, you know, invest it. He said, you, Corinthians, who've given to me, you will be enriched in every way for your generosity. That is the model of the kingdom. It's a divine transaction. As we give, we receive. We're built to give. We're built to give. It's not a burden, it's a blessing. And it took me an awfully long time. I discovered that a little bit more a couple of years ago when, in my previous job, I was working with a lady whose husband had been kidnapped in Colombia. And I went to stay with her. Couldn't speak a word of Spanish. She couldn't speak English. But I went to stay with her. God connected us. I love traveling. And God, and she just said, do you want to come through the translator? Come and spend Christmas with me. I was like, see. that was my word of English. And I gave her money and whatever. And I asked people. I said, please give me money. I'm taking it to this woman who doesn't have hot water. She's been displaced. Her husband's disappeared. She's a pastor. Her husband's a pastor. He's been kidnapped. Can you give me money? They did. And do you know what? God suddenly put £1,000 in my account through different things. I don't have time to tell you now. I thought, wow, I'm going to give again. The more I'm giving. And it's not just about money. It's God enlarging our hearts. the founder of the International Justice Mission. I don't know if you know of the International Justice Mission. I don't know a huge amount about it, but I'm interested in it. It's got the word justice and mission and international in. I like those words. And he says this. He says, God has a plan to help bring justice to the world. You can probably guess what the next sort of five or six lines are. Anybody want to hazard a guess? Yeah, thank you. The church. He actually says, and his plan is, yeah, us. It's amazing, isn't it? God partners with us. God partners with us. He partners with you. He could do it all himself. He doesn't want to. He's a father. You know, I have a neighbour. He does the gardening with his son. And this week I watched them and, you know, he was getting really impatient. Adam, don't do it like that. Adam, do it like that. Don't do it. You know, but dad was trying to be patient. He was partnering with his son. It cost him time. It cost him energy. But he carried on and let his son, you know, work with him. He partnered with his son because he knew that his son would benefit and grow through that. And St. Stephen's, you know, is going to grow. The more that you give corporately, the more that you give in your hearts individually, not just money, but time, love, whatever it is, we grow. And that's the message I really want to communicate with you this morning. It's not just a fundraising ask, please give to Christian Aid. Yes, that would be lovely. We can't do it without money. It's a transaction. But, you know, it's our hearts that God wants, and then the rest follows. I read a great story this week. I use UCB Word for Today. I love that. Anyone else use UCB Word for Today? Matthew? It's good, isn't it? Do you like it? I met the UCB team in January. They're amazing, full of integrity, spirit-led, amazing people. And there was a story there this week. Matt, maybe you read it. Reverend Sally Smith in Stoke. Stoke is a big centre where refugees are received. Remember I talked earlier about Celestine making a home for people who are fleeing violence, refugees. I talked about feeling safe here. In Stoke, there is a refugee centre, and Reverend Sally Smith says this. She gives a terrible story. You know, I won't go into the details. You can imagine it. You know, husband tortured, murdered, dumped on the doorstep, that kind of thing. She's attending this refugee centre in a church. This is what Reverend Sally Smith says. She says, I think that as a result of us offering a family place, Sanctus has grown, that's the name of the project, Sanctus has grown as a family. As we have become family, Sanctus, our community, has become a family. You see, as she gave, as they're giving, they're becoming something. You know, as they give away, they are enlarging. I wonder if we could get ready for that TV advert just to move us on to a slightly different pace. Thank you. We're going to come back to that lady at the end. Her name is Nejabar. We're coming back to her shortly. But first of all, there was a voice that I don't know if you managed to pick up at the beginning of that video clip. His name is Theodore. He's 91. If I could just perhaps show that slide when we're ready. Oh, there he is. He's 91. He received Christian Aid food parcels in 1947 when he was in a refugee camp. He spent 2.5 years in refugee camps across Europe in post-war chaos. He's Serbian. He received food parcels. Incredible. This is what he said, if I can just find it. He said, the Christians sent the parcels and I never forgot it. I feel I owe my life to the cause, to Christian Aid, and I promised I would do my best as long as I live, and I'm still doing it. In Edinburgh today, this week, you'll find him on a doorstep. He's 91. He's collecting money for Christian Aid. He's doing house to house, which I know some of you do. He was a refugee. Christian Aid helped to support him. We are continuing to work with refugees. It's an incredible story how Christian Aid started. A chaplain supported 80,000 refugees in camps, got the aid together. Theodore was one of them. That's how Christian Aid started. What a story. St. Stephen's is part of that story of helping to create homes. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Nejabar, Greece, August 2016. A team from Christian Aid fly out from London. They meet her. They hear her story. Five children, husband worked as a teacher in the local in the government. And the Taliban said, well, we're going to kill all government workers. Ooh, brother-in-law brutally murdered. I won't tell you what else happened before he died. They had to leave Afghanistan. What could they do? They ended up in a camp, and they decided it was better to risk dying on the journey than living the journey of nastiness, if horror, in Afghanistan. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Unloosing the bonds of wickedness, unloosing the yoke of injustice, working together, partnering with God to do that. So how do we do that? We pray. And Sue's going to talk a little bit about a devotional shortly. We give money. We need money. We campaign. We say to the government, please provide better routes of safe passage. Please provide better policies to better enable people like Nejibar to have a decent home, identity, acceptance, life. Life before death. Christian Aid believes in life before death. God is partnering us, partnering with us to help deliver that. I was a stranger and you invited me in. We have one of the lines in the songs we sang, I meant to write it down, something about being rejected and coming into a place of a safe home. I should have written that down, but it might have jogged your memory when you sang. Over 1 million people have crossed into Europe in 2015. Sorry, I can't tell you the latest figure, but over 1 million in 2015. People like Nejibar. Baby died nearly twice, falling out the boat. Nejibar is looking after two young boys in the camp, in addition to her five children. Two young teenage boys who are Afghani. You know, it's not the common language, is it, in Greece? So when they go to a doctor, her five-year-old son looks like he's three. He's very ill. How do you communicate with a doctor in a refugee camp in Greek under trauma? Not easy. How do we do that? How does she do that? She needs help. Leviticus 19, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. God's very clear, isn't he? The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. Why? Because you, Israel, were foreigners in Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. And of course, it's our own story, isn't it? We were alien. We were outside of the kingdom of God. We were refugees. We didn't know it. We didn't know it. We were refugees lost in a land that was not our own because God had not yet called us into that land of identity with him. So we were refugees ourselves. We were the alien outside of the kingdom of God. God reached out to us, brought us into the spiritual family. When you don't have identity, I think if you're in a position like Nejibar, I think food is probably quite important. If you can't speak the language, the scenery is different, the people are different, your family is not there, who knows where you are? You know, there's nothing recognizable, is there? Apart from you carrying your trauma, that's recognizable. That probably came with you. And maybe a bag if you were lucky. So food in this situation is important. And so what we do at Christian Aid, we are putting resources towards food, fridges, cookers, in these camps so that people have a little bit of identity, a little bit of... Well, it's not home, but it feels a tiny bit like home. I'm eating the food that I ate 3 months ago, 2 years ago. You know, the same people aren't around the table, are they? And there probably isn't a table. But we can do something. I don't want to guilt you, though. I don't want to guilt you into giving money. You know, why would I do that? I've been a fundraiser for 16, 17 years. It's not about that. You know, my prayer this morning is that God touches your hearts to encourage you, that he wants to partner with you. That might look like praying as a result. It might look like, yeah, I'm going to fill out a postcard that Sue's going to talk about in a minute. It may look like, you know, money. It may look like signing up to do house to house with Sue and the team. I don't know what it looks like for you. That's not for me to say, is it? God partners with you. I don't partner with you directly. It's God first, and then perhaps we connect in the wider partnership. So I want to thank you corporately, St. Stephen's Church, for being a fantastic example of partnering with Christian Aid. And I know many other charities, but I'm here this morning just giving you a flavour of the Christian Aid story, of which you are a valuable part. I want to thank you, whether you've given 50p or lots more or left a legacy. If you want to do that, come and talk to me afterwards. Sorry, I had to get that in. I didn't have to get it in, but it's part of my job. It's in my job description. My boss might ask me. I have to say, yes, I said it. I'm a legator for 4 charities. So, you know, I decided that when I was 27, circumstances meant that I could make that decision, so I did. Never changed them. 4 charities. I never hear from them. I don't care. I gave. That's fine. If I die, well, I will die. When I die, that's it. They'll benefit. It's useful. But in whatever way that God has touched your heart this morning, or if you want to give regularly, that's great. And if you want to talk to me afterwards, please do. But please, whatever you do, I hope that you'll be able to pray. I hope that you'll be able to just give a little bit more attention to Sue when she comes up to say a little bit more about what you can do. And play your part in the story. It's really what I want to leave you with. I want to challenge you and encourage you to ask God, what, Lord, is my part in that story? What is it? Is it praying? Is it giving? Is it house to house? I don't know what it is for you. I don't know. I have no idea. But I want to thank you for all that you've done and that will continue to do. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this morning. But as I say, my heart is that you know the heart of God in partnering with you, because nothing will ever take that away. And that's priceless, actually. I can't put a price tag on that. I can put a price tag on a cooker or on a meal. I cannot put a price tag on the value, the benefit, the immeasurable value and intimacy of knowing our partnership with God. So I want to thank you for that.